by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. We appreciate you tuning in and listening. And if you miss any of our shows, it's easy to go back and hear them in the My Country 95.5 app or the K2 radio app, where you can listen on demand 24/7. And just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the new Wyoming Game and Fish website, which is going to be up and ready to run. Janet, when?
In maybe April now.
Maybe April.
As we mentioned, IT often has some concerns, and it is not our IT and it's not our state IT. They have been absolutely fantastic, but we have run into some issues. And so we will be waiting a little bit more. So February is not the release date now, but hopefully by April. And if not then, we'll just say, oh, wait, maybe by June. Maybe. I think everybody's pretty used to us doing that by now. So apologies for those who have been looking out for it or are excited to see that new information. But just know that it is still coming. We're working on it.
So it's always good, though, to have all the kinks and the bugs ironed out before you go live on something like that, because you don't want people to have issues. And that's probably a lot of it.
And the one that really came up here was that our ability to do the links in the background. So that is kind of like if you see something you like and you click on it, the links were all broken. So it is some coding background that the developers are having to work on. That way, no one hopefully will be frustrated at hitting all of the broken links and sitting there like me and, you know, like 25 clicks in, it's still not working and you're wondering why. Now, you know, just wait and those will be working.
Well, so we're looking around the time that people are going to be maybe at the commissioner meetings, and the commission will be celebrating about that time. And
yes, that's right. Season settings will be raging in meetings on in April in Riverton this year. So make sure that you can catch that if you know, you're interested in those sorts of things. But yes, we have a commission meeting in March. We have a commission meeting in April, and our season setting stuff will be in full swing. So just make sure that you keep up to date. And so one day you might click on and it might look a little different.
Yeah. So I would go back when you start getting in April and really familiarize yourself with it, because then you'll be getting toward the end of the deadlines and everything. So you want to make that all
exactly. And you know, one of our big concerns is really making sure that the hunt planner is as clear as mud.
Right.
And that there's not a lot of challenges in finding out your drawing odds and all of the things so that people do know what they're putting in for. But just as a reminder, the state IT did develop what, again, we call the ELS, the electronic licensing system, and none of that portal has changed. And so your account should still be the same. Everything should still be the same. So no sweat on any of that. That's not going to change. Your passwords and everything aren't going to change. You'll still have that sign in button at the upper right hand corner. And so it's just going to be a little different about where some of our information is located, but not yours.
Well, we'll definitely keep you up to date as the time passes. And as soon as it goes live, we'll let you know. But so time has passed. And just a bit ago, we were talking about the trapping of turkeys in Casper, where the issue has gotten bigger and bigger. And Brandon is also with us this week. And Brandon, the last time we talked, you filled us in on why the turkey problem is a bigger problem this year. And a lot of that has to do with the moisture that we've had over the last year and the way that the plants and the shrubs and the everything in that part kind of made a big difference, and that has caused these turkeys to really become an issue.
Drew, let me jump in really quick and say how proud I am of you for actually listening to everything that we've been saying. It is a nice thing that the message may be getting out. So thanks for that, Drew, and recapping all of that. Mm-hmm. It is a challenge. It has been a challenge, and Brandon and his team have been pretty fantastic these last couple months.
After it's all said and done, Brandon, how many birds did you guys live trap?
So we ended up with 138 turkeys from Casper and areas around the town. So quite a few birds. And honestly, I thought we were going to get more than we did. It's important to remember that these birds are wild, and we set up the traps, and with it being such a mild winter, these turkeys were just pretty dang hesitant of the traps, where if it was a cold, snowy winter, the birds would have run under the traps to get the feed.
Drew, let me explain what these traps are. They're pretty cool, actually. Yeah. And hopefully we can have a video up. So when Brandon talks about they're a little bit hesitant, you know, it's this 60-foot...
By 60 foot.
By 60 foot net. And it's kind of like a tent, right? It's got that center post, like a circus tent. It's got that center post that sticks up in the middle, and then it swoops off to the side to about, you know, 3 feet or so on the sides that the birds can then wander under. So it does take a little bit of time for the birds to kind of get used to this new thing that's above their heads that they are walking under to kind of get to the food. Game and Fish at that time does do a little bit of extra feed for them to kind of get them to go under. And Brandon and his crew patiently waited and watched, and it was pretty fantastic.
So my next question, Brandon, are you guys there? Remember Bill Murray and Caddyshack would dress up in camouflage. He'd wear leaves. He'd lay out in the bushes until the gopher came through. Is that basically what you were doing?
A little bit yes, a little bit no. Like, a lot of these birds are so used to people. Honestly, just sat in my green truck, but it seemed like after a while, those birds were getting a little wary of the green truck as well.
You know, it's true. It's amazing at how smart these creatures are. And so you make fun of Bill Murray, but he might have been on to something there at Caddyshack. Those gophers are pretty bright. And yeah, so are the turkeys. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, Thomas Gobbles and the history of that guy and how smart he really was, and that he knew that people that wore backpacks were a little bit less aggressive, because obviously those were children walking to school. They were a little less aggressive towards him than, say, an adult who maybe was sweeping their sidewalk with a broom. And so that is the situation, right? They're smart creatures, and turkeys in particular are pretty bright. I know people don't give them that much credit, but they really are. I mean, they use the crosswalks and everything in Casper.
That's true. Now, we were watching the video of the turkey whisperer. And if you're watching videos like that, you're thinking, oh, it doesn't take much to fool these turkeys. But obviously, you know, they survive because they are smart. And if you've ever been a turkey hunter and actually gone out hunting, all you have to do is blink and they can spot you. So, I mean, they have great senses that help them in their survival. So you're waiting for them to walk under a 60 by 60 net. How long are you waiting there, Brandon?
Well, it really varies day to day. I mean, a lot of times those birds will fly off of their roost first thing in the morning and they want to feed. So sometimes they'll just come running in, but then they get to that net and they're a little bit hesitant. And other times, like, yeah, I just need a little afternoon snack, and then they'll come in the afternoon. So it varies. I mean, it could be a half hour up to a couple hours. You just never know. But they do get on a routine, and that's when we have our best success.
What part of Casper were you hunkered down for a little while? Were you directly in the heart of town?
Yes, we did some trapping over by Dean Morgan, and then in North Casper too. We did some in the Houma Hills, you know, even though we caught 138 birds, I mean, it really did not put a dent in it, but it definitely got rid of some of the problem birds. And that was never our goal, was to get rid of all the birds. And I really want the public to know that. We just needed to get them down to some manageable levels.
Do you have an estimated count on how many turkeys actually reside inside city limits of Casper?
I have no idea. Last year we tried doing a census and we got several hundred birds, but one thing that I want to note is when we caught those birds, we sexed them, we aged them, and a lot of the birds that we caught were juveniles, which showed that there was a really good hatch last year, just like I talked about before with the great moisture.
So at this point, are you still trapping or have you moved on?
So it's getting late in the year. Well, I say it's early in the year. It's almost March, but We're going to stop trapping this year, and there's a few reasons why we're doing that. So the number one most important reason is that as it gets warmer and we trap these birds, they do get a little bit stressed out, so they can overheat. And as it's warmer out, we don't want them overheating. So one really good thing I want to let the public know, of those 138 birds we caught, we released every single one of them, and we didn't lose one single bird. So a really awesome thing about that net is when it drops straight down on those birds, and they get tangled in it, and they can't flop around and hurt themselves. Another reason why we're going to stop trapping is because those birds, they have set up social hierarchies. So right now you'll see them strutting and gobbling and whatnot. So if we would catch those birds and move them to a different area, they could get in contact with other birds and they're like, hey, I'm not really sure where I sit with the social hierarchy. I might not breed this year. And turkeys aren't really long-lived species. If we take out a year of them breeding, then we could set them back potentially.
And you had said that over the last few years, Wyoming has had the biggest growth in turkeys in most of the states, and which is really funny to me, the fact that turkeys aren't natural here. They weren't here before the, 40s or 50s, and then now one of the biggest and fastest growing states for turkeys is Wyoming.
Yeah.
And, you know, Drew, that's a pretty interesting statement. And that's one of the things that we talk about a lot. And this is totally going off subject, but invasive species, right? Wild turkeys were introduced here, and we did that intentionally years ago. That is one of the reasons why invasive species can be challenging. For example, aquatic invasive species or even cheatgrass, those sorts of things, once they get here, if they can find the habitat and just be out of control, if there aren't a lot of natural predators or things that keep those invasives in check, there can be problems. And so, you know, we can easily keep things with turkeys in check while some of the other invasives, maybe we can't. So it's just kind of an easy reminder and an example of sometimes things can really take off in areas that maybe you don't think that they would.
Right. Well, just like turkeys being in Casper, you know, we started with a smaller flock and now it's grown and grown and grown because of what we've talked about. Where, you know, I mean, they kind of are invasive in the Casper area because they've gotten so big and will, you know, we're to the point where things are warming up and it's going to start greening up outside of town. Will you see any of these turkeys naturally leave town to go out and forage elsewhere?
For sure. These birds are going to start dispersing end of March, in early April, when they really get into breeding. Once those hens get bred, they're going to go off somewhere by themselves, have a nest, and the problems in town should alleviate themselves until next winter, in the next month or two.
And then do you think, I mean, because it's going to be a little different this year, not as much moisture has happened in 2024 or even the late 2023. Are we thinking that maybe we'll have a smaller crop of new turkeys?
It's kind of tough to tell right now because a lot of it really goes with what spring moisture we have. But with not having big snow loads too, as the snow melts, obviously soaks into the ground, really good forbs and grasses grow with that. But it's kind of too early to tell. But a negative thing that could happen if we get a lot of wet, heavy, like April and May snows, that can also inhibit the turkey population growth.
So just like any other wildlife, when, you know, we think everything's going great. Like last year, it was a great mild winter, and then boom, it was all of a sudden crazy. So it's just kind of a waiting game.
That's right. Fingers crossed, everything will be good this year. But one of the things I do want to reiterate, Drew, and just to let people know is that here at Game and Fish, we're very mindful of a lot of the sentiment out there about turkeys, right? So you definitely have maybe two different groups of folks. You have the turkey lovers and you have the turkey haters. And so being aware of all of those folks, I want people to know that the smoky phase turkeys, maybe Whitey is named Snowball. I think I've heard a few. Some of those guys that are a little bit more recognizable are out there and they're still in Casper and they're safe. And so I know that there is some concern over some of that. And for those of you that are dealing with them roosting in your trees, hopefully hopefully some of that will go away and we can get some things cleaned up over the next couple months. So finding that balance of folks who are tired of kind of the turkey destruction, but those who absolutely love to watch it. Just everybody be assured that we do recognize those different levels, and we're going to work really hard to kind of maintain a happy medium for everybody and make sure that people can still take care of those turkeys that they like to watch, and that we will take care of the rest of the turkeys that need to be kind of moved out.
So, Brandon, when you were live trapping these in the harmless net that was dropped on them, were you selective then? You would go through and say, oh, this is a fan favorite, this has got to stay? Or if they were caught, then they were transferred?
Yeah, if they were caught, they were transferred. We didn't go through and select them. But every bird that we caught, like I said before, got sexed and aged. It also got a fancy band on it too. So if they show up somewhere else, we'd be like, oh, we caught this bird over here and it showed up here. But every bird that we let go was in quality turkey habitat where there's other turkeys there, and they're going to go be happy birds, not get run over by cars or chased around by dogs and cats. So they can just go be wild turkeys over there.
Can you say in what part of the state that you took some of these turkeys?
Yeah, so we took some over to Niobrara County, north of Lusk, and there's some in Converse County, and we took some in a different location to Natrona County as well. So, yeah, we took birds all over this year.
So, really, it is beneficial to those areas, too, if maybe they are having a lighter year for turkeys. But
exactly, yeah. All those locations that we took birds to, historically, they've had a lot of birds, and in the last decade or so, they just haven't had as many, so we're trying to supplement those populations over there.
How will those birds take to an area like that? Will they absorb right in and kind of, you know, fit in?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Drew, there'll be some growing pains, but in the long term, they'll be like, hey, I'm a wild turkey. I have to be wild. I have to go find my food. Hey, look, there's really big trees that I can go roost in. And yeah, so it'll take them a little bit, but they'll fit right in.
Very good.
That being said, they are all moved together as the group that they were traveling in here in town. And so there is some familiarity. There mm-hmm. is already some established hierarchy. And so it is a pretty good reintroduction, so to speak.
For sure.
And then in 2025, you'll do another round of trapping?
Yeah, we'll see how the reproduction goes this year if we're still having a lot of issues in town. And where I trap basically comes from getting calls from the public like, hey, I'm having a lot of issues over here. And then their neighbors calling and their neighbors calling. So that's how we're selecting these areas. So if that happens next year, then, yeah, we'll look at trapping again. But like we talked about with the feeding ordinance going in, the amount of calls that I've got has really dropped off this last year. So I want to thank the Casper City Council again and Metro and Casper PD for enforcing that ordinance. And this not feeding, really spreading these birds out and minimizing the issues that they're causing.
Very good. Well, it sounds like it was a successful year in 2024 then.
It was a successful year. So public safety, hopefully we can check that off, that there's a few less birds on the road and a few less for the walkers to school, and check off for bird safety as well. Hopefully they're enjoying the wild that they are.
Very good. Well, if you do have any more questions or complaints about the turkeys, let them know at the Game and Fish Department. You can call them by going to the current website, wgfd.wild.gov. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward from Monkey Mountain Discount Sports, where, boy, Brian, it's been a great time to be an outdoor lover because you can do a lot of things you normally couldn't do in February and March because of the weather.
Yeah, outside of that crazy wind we had last week, it's weather-wise, temperature-wise, it's actually been pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, and the wind has been really high. I mean, we're talking 70 to 90 mile an hour from time to time. So.
Right. Yeah, blow over risk on Wyoming Boulevard and, you know, pretty much sustained 40 and 50 mile winds everywhere else. So crazy.
And one of the worst parts about that wind is if there was some ice left over in places, then it probably isn't there now or isn't very healthy ice.
Yeah, you know, the ice on these reservoirs does not like the wind. So this wind, as it starts, gets ripping. I mean, we got currents under the ice and currents above the ice, and it ripped open a lot of water really quick last week.
Have you heard many guys that have been out on their boats or whatever?
You know, Alcova's had quite a bit of traffic. I know Gray Rocks is open, and there's been a few people down there. I don't think we've got enough open water yet on Pathfinder or Glendo, but it's going to open up pretty quick on those reservoirs.
So guys are really getting geared up. So, you know, they're restocking their boats and going through those tackle boxes and really using this time to be prepared because it could be 2 weeks and on the water.
Yeah, we've had quite a few guys coming in, you know, that wanted to update their fish finders, guys that, you know, maybe were having some problems with their Minn Kotas up on the front of the boats. And so we've been selling some of those and just kind of getting people organized. You know, everyone's kind of been collecting tackle all winter long when they went and saw something somewhere or got it online. And, you know, you got tackle boxes that need to be filled up now. So selling a lot of just plain old boxes and just things to get people organized.
You know, you had mentioned some of the electronics and you know, things that you may need on your boat. And you guys have great layaway that if, you know, you go get it now, then by the time you get out on that water, it'll be, you know, time to get her out.
Yeah, you know, 20% down, and usually we have a 90-day policy, but we're pretty liberal on that. I mean, as long as there's been a payment made, you know, whether it's $10 or $20 or whatever it is, as long as we know that a guy hasn't forgot about it, you know, we're pretty generous with the length of time that something's on layaway. But yeah, it's a great opportunity to, you know, that $1,000 graph that you're waiting for your tax return to come back, but you want to make sure that it doesn't disappear on you before then. You know, go stick it on layaway, make a few payments on it, and then pay it off when you get your tax refund.
So we've been really talking a lot lately about, you know, firearms, and you guys do layaway for firearms too, but there are some handguns here that, you know, are kind of rare at some points of the year.
Yeah, you know, we've been struggling the last couple of years, especially coming out of COVID, with the availability of especially revolvers. And we just got back from the shows and placed all of our spring orders on the revolvers. And we have more revolvers in this store than we've ever had, especially on the Smith & Wesson side of things, and some ones that we only see one or two a year. So it's nice to have those in stock. And, of course, our selection of just regular pistols is, you know, off the chart.
On those revolvers that you have, are you talking like good conceal and carry? You're talking like big, you know, 44s or...
We had a gentleman call yesterday looking for 44s, and he's like, well, what do you have? And it's like, well, we just in the case alone, we had 16 different models of 44s. So, yeah, I mean, we've got a good selection of everything, whether it's just a 38 special or all the way up to, you know, 500s. Yeah.
So definitely come on in and check out the gun cases. The biggest gun selection in town, pretty close anyway.
Well, if it's not, I'd be really shocked because I know there's over 3,000 firearms here.
That may be most in the state, right?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty darn impressive.
Well, you can't sell it if you don't have it. And, you know, people like to touch and feel and, you know, touch the product before they actually purchase it. So, you know, if you don't see it on the shelf, certainly ask us, because there's a lot of times that we just don't have the shelf space to even put out one of every model that we have. So
there are definitely options to come in here and check them out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And, you know, we were talking last week, you know, it's time to clean those shotguns and get those rifles, you know, ready to go for next season. And maybe optics weren't a good option for you this past season, but now would be a good time to get those and get them all sighted in.
Yeah, we just got in some of the new Burris products this week. And if a guy hasn't researched an eliminator that Burris makes, it's phenomenal. Well, they just did it one step better and came out with an Eliminator 6, which we just got in. And they also have this one called the PH, which kind of has a, as I refer to it, as a digital turret system. Pretty neat technology out there anymore, just to help make a guy a little more successful in the field. So come out and check those out for sure, because they're very innovative for the optics world.
You were telling me that you could tell that people were pretty successful this year because of the amount of processing that was happening, where mm-hmm. maybe they put it off a little bit, and you guys are now restocked with a lot of seasonings that maybe you were out of.
Yeah, you know, the big game season was good for a lot of people, and a lot of people were kind of fighting to get into some of these processors. And I think, you know, when a person sits down and puts a pencil to it to look at the cost to get the equipment to do your own processing versus taking it in, you know, pretty quickly you can cover your expenses. I mean, it's not cheap taking it to a processor. And we had a really great season through Christmas, and we sold out of a lot of our LEM products. And then High Mountain Seasonings took a big hit, but we got both of those all restocked. And so a huge selection of not only your grinders and meat processing stuff, but all of the seasonings as well.
So really, if you think about this, now is the perfect time to come in. And if you've thought about processing yourself, start slowly getting it. And while you have it in stock, get it now so that you're not, you know, coming in here and having to throw that money down.
Well, and if you're looking at like a big grinder, you know, maybe a big grinder is $400 or $500. I mean, we can put those on layaway also. So, you know, by the time your season hits, you know, you're going to have it paid off. But, you know, $10 a week or $20 a week, that pays those things off pretty quickly.
Come on in here and check them all out. And weather has been nice, but it's cold in the morning. It's nice in the afternoon, and it's cold again at night. So you need to layer up so you can get all your different socks and boots. And I know you have a great selection of boots that, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe that was a big concern too, but now it looks pretty solid.
Yeah, with springtime coming, you know, it's a good time to get the dogs out and run them around, and, you know, a good, nice pair of hiking boots, you know, whether they're the Danners or the Kennetreks. Pretty good selections on those for people to have a good quality pair of boots under their feet.
Get out here and check them out. And do remember, you can go to RockyMountainSports.com to kind of give an eye on the products that they got. But never fear, because you can always check them out right here in person on CY Avenue in Casper.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, we had mentioned a little bit ago that now's a good time to restock that boat and fix things that maybe got broken last year, and maybe even, you know, maintain your tires and things just to keep you close to the boat, right? Maybe not without getting on the boat.
Yeah, it seems like every spring I spend hours just sitting in my boat, you know, reorganizing tackle and putting lures back in boxes that they're supposed to be in, and picking things off the floor, and re-spooling my lines and just getting all that stuff ready. So, yeah, we're getting close to that time.
You don't realize how much, like, you know, just you and I last year went out fishing, you know, a bunch of times, and that's not, you know, you by yourself or with others. So, right. You know, you get a whole bunch of people in there, and you don't realize how dirty it is, and you're finding snacks on the ground and
snacks in cubby holes that maybe a mouse got to. Yeah. It's a hard saying, but yeah, you know, it seems like all season long, you know, I'm walking out of here with a bag of, you know, the newest, hottest lure that I think I like that color. And the bags just get thrown in the boat underneath the cover. And then all of a sudden I take the cover off and I'm like, oh, I got to figure out what to do with all this stuff.
And, you know, I know that you go out every time you have to retie on, you're cutting, you know, your line and whatever. So it's always a good time also, maybe just to bring all your rods in and your reels and just have them restrung.
Yeah, and just clean them up a little bit. You know, when you unspool a line, or as you're getting ready, you know, pull it apart, maybe put a little lubricant in there, clean the dust out of it, you know, just kind of go through and make sure that they're operating right. A lot of guys like to calibrate their trolling rods or trolling reels. Not something I do, but there's all kinds of YouTube videos on how to calibrate trolling reels. So if you want to get real precise with, you know, your line counters, I mean, now's a good time to do that.
So really, it is a good time. And we're at the beginning of March. So, you know, we may have another big snowstorm in there. And you know, that kind of is worrisome to a lot of people. And, you know, one thing that I was talking earlier with Game and Fish about is this spring so far has been the exact opposite of what it was last year, mm-hmm. where it was very, you know, water heavy last year with snow and rain and you know, snow melt. How you feel that the fish will react to a complete opposite year?
Yeah, I think the fish are going to kind of be acting almost maybe a month ahead of schedule in terms of techniques and where we're going to find fish. I think with the warmer weather and the ice being off these reservoirs a little bit quicker, you know, the spawn might kick in a little bit. It seems like the trout on the river are a little bit ahead of schedule. And I would expect that the walleye would probably be doing the same thing. So a lot of times it's based on water temperatures and moon phases and whatnot. And I think that we're going to have good water. I mean, we'll have some good runoff, even though we're only 70 or 80% of snowpack in areas. But yeah, I think we'll be ahead of schedule. So I think the fishing is going to be, as soon as the ice comes off, I think it's going to be great.
One thing that, you know, we were a little bit concerned about early was ice on Glendale, because they had the first ice fishing tournament there, mm-hmm. That they'd ever had, or at right. least for a long time. And ice was a little slow to get there. But if it goes that fast, we'll be rapidly approaching the first Stampede tournament, which will be there at Glendale. And right. that's the first part of May.
Yeah, May 11th and 12th, 12th, 13th, Mother's Day weekend, whatever that is. That's the one that we have it on.
There's a lot of moms that are angry now.
Actually, I think there's a lot of moms that are happy that their husbands aren't going to be home and they can just enjoy their book and a glass of wine without their husband being around.
And they're going to get better gifts because hubby's going to feel bad about it.
There you go. Yes, it's a ploy by all these women to pick the dates for our tournaments.
Yeah, that's right. And things are looking good at Glendale this year, and here in just a few minutes there's new owners at the marina down right. there, but that's not changing anything with the Stampede, and I think they want to make sure that all the anglers know that.
Yeah, of course, anytime you have new ownership, there's a lot of people that are worried about what's going to happen, but I had a really good conversation with Mark, the owner down there, this week, and they're excited, and having fresh new owners into a place is going to create some changes that are going to be very positive for a lot of aspects of it, and wish them the best of luck, because it's that's a big operation with a very seasonally driven, and our anglers generally do a really good job of supporting the marina, and I think everybody should. It's such a short selling season for those guys, and to support them with, bait and tackle and the restaurant and the fuel. I feel up there all the time, because it's just, I really want to support those local shops.
Yeah, and Rick and Dawn, they had been going to sell off for a while, and, mm-hmm. and they were hanging in there last year and, wrapped up the year, and now they're going to go to Florida. So
Yeah, now they're just kicking back in the sun.
So we're going to, again, talk to Mark here in just a couple of minutes, kind of introduce you to Mark, and then, let you in on how things are going to go down there this year. I think there's some pretty big stuff that's going to happen that'll be a pretty big change.
Yeah, it should be exciting.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And we're back, Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. As Brian and I were just talking a bit ago, there's new owners at the Glendale Marina, and the owner, Mark Green of B&A Marine in Glendale, is on the phone with me. Mark, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Doing great, man. I was really excited to see you guys got the marina.
Yeah, no, it's pretty exciting.
Have you guys taken over and you're starting in the spring here?
We're hoping to be open May 1st for sure. We're getting everything transferred, but we have assumed the ownership and just trying to get everything ready for the season.
Well, Mark, we talk Glendale a lot on this show just because it's one of the great fisheries in the area. Of course, the reservoir system and the river system is so cool. And what do you guys got planned there at the marina?
We've got some big ideas. We're going to try and find a healthy balance of not overwhelming everybody, trying to see, how our ideas look like they're going to be able to integrate over the year. And then, just try and make positive improvements as quickly as we can. More ideas for some more access for people up there. Some guided wake boat rentals, increasing the rental fleet that we have available, and trying to make it easier for people to be able to come in and out of there on the weekends. We're trying to find a healthy balance of not wiping out what we have, but still being able to allow more people to come in and enjoy it on a weekend level, instead of just a permanent parking situation for the whole summer.
So, and then are you guys going to live on site and kind of care for it there, or will you have caretakers to do that for you?
I have caretakers that'll be up there. One of the big things that we're going to do this year is allow people to rent the big log cabin house there. And then I have Tom and Bonnie. They'll be up there. Tom was working up there last year a little bit towards the end of the season. This year, they're going to bounce back and forth, between the house, and if there's people in there, they've got a camper that they'll stay in, but they will be up there on site all summer long. We're trying to provide more opportunities for people to stay, and what's the best way to go about building the facilities to make that better for everybody.
Are you going to have the restaurant up and running and the fuel system and all that?
Yes, the restaurant will be up and running this year. We just had meetings within our team. We're going to strive for Thursday at noon till 9 o'clock at night, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday will be 7 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night, and then Monday open till at least 7 a.m. till noon. We just want to make sure that we have dedicated hours for the restaurant to where people know it will be open. We will be serving food. We will have fuel there on land at the marina this year. I've got some dock companies that are working on quotes and estimates to try and figure out the best way to get fuel down to the docks. I'm hoping 2025 we can have fuel down there. I think it'll be a stretch to say that we're going to have a chance to get it down there this year. This spring, we have a dock company coming up to try and put a little bit better anchoring system in on the docks. I know that they've had some issues with it moving around a little bit. We just really want to make sure that everybody's property's protected up there and the docks are safe and solid.
It is a good change. I know that Rick and Dawn have been a part of, you know, the marina for such a long time, and you guys have worked with them over the last little while to make sure the transition, you know, went over well, right?
Yep, that's correct. Rick and Don, I got to thank them a lot for giving me the opportunity to purchase the marina. You know, I think they were ready to move on to the next chapter in their life, and I appreciate the opportunity to have a chance to see what we can do with it. We can either learn from some mistakes and improve on that, or have a day where we're going to have good days and bad days, but hopefully we can learn from our bad days and just keep making it better and better.
You live in Wyoming, so you're a Wyoming guy. Have you been to Glendale a lot?
So last year, we really took to the Glendale Marina. We ended up spending a lot of time up there. We've just really enjoyed the small community up there at Glendale and said, well, heck, we better just make sure we give this thing a shot and see if we can make it a little bit better for everybody and see what we can turn it into.
Well, it definitely sounds like you and your entire family, you have a wife and a couple of kids, you're excited about this opportunity and making things better at Glendale and making sure that people are still enjoying it. And it just, you know, it's exciting to see what the future holds for the Glendale Marina, now the B&A Marina at Glendale, Wyoming.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate you inquiring about it, and hope to see you guys up there. Sounds like we'll probably see you up there for the fishing tournament.
Yeah.
May 11th there.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good time, and that's going to be right after you guys open for the first little bit, too, isn't it?
Yep, we'll have a full 10 days of experience under our belt.
Hey, do you guys have a website and social media that you have up for the new marina?
Right now, we do have a Facebook. We're currently working on a website. We're hoping to have that up by the end of March here.
Very good. And all they need to do is search BA Marina Glendale, Wyoming.
Yep, that's correct. As we get the website up, you'll be able to see all of our rental options, be able to book rooms, reserve rentals, golf carts, anything that we have to offer up there will all be managed through the website.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mark Green, new owner of the marina at Glendale B&A Marine, Glendale, Wyoming. Thanks again, Mark, and go follow them on Facebook so you can get up to date on all the latest improvements that are happening and learn when that website comes live. And Mark, have a great day, and thanks so much for joining us here on Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. We'll be seeing a lot of you this summer.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.